You're listening to the Men's Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Hello, men, and welcome to the podcast. Pastor John here. I'm excited to dig into today's episode. We're going to actually take a break from the Working As Unto the Lord series, where we have been looking at how do we honor and glorify God no matter what we do vocationally. We will continue that series, but I want to take a break for this episode. Thanksgiving was last week, and just the topic of gratitude, the topic of Thanksgiving has been on my heart, as it seems to be this time of the year. And I wish it was on my heart all throughout the year. I just confess it's an area where I have so much room to grow. And I think in general, it's a topic men don't talk about a lot. I mean, think about it. When was the last time you were with a group of men and you just sat around and talked about the things for which you were grateful? You know, I love the outdoors. I've spent a lot of time around campfire circles. I can't really think of very many times, and I just sat around with other men and we listed the things that made us thankful, you know, the things that we were grateful to have in our lives. So I think it's good for us to talk about gratitude. It's definitely talked about a lot in the Bible. There are some commands related to gratitude and thanksgiving, and so we're going to dig into some of those today. But the first thing I want to talk about is that gratitude and living with a heart of thanksgiving, it's good for you. See, living with a heart of gratitude not only is obedient, it's not only a way of living that honors God and brings glory to God, it's actually good for you. There are both emotional and physical benefits to living with a thankful heart. And that shouldn't surprise us because the Bible has said that all along. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones." I just love the truth, the timelessness, the relevance of the Bible. There's so much wisdom in God's Word. I mean, this was written thousands of years ago, but it's just as true today as the day that it was written. And did you know that modern science has actually confirmed what the Bible has said all along in regards to gratitude? There are multiple studies that have shown that gratitude, living with a heart of thanksgiving, is actually healthy for your body, just like Proverbs 14:30 says. When we're grateful, it activates the parasympathetic nervous system. This system in our body is responsible for the rest and the digestive functions. And so when we have a heart of gratitude, it leads to lower blood pressure. It leads to a lower heart rate. We tend to get better sleep at night. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Now, you might wonder if I'm making a false connection here. Like, John, you're connecting a peaceful heart with a heart of gratitude. Is that what this proverb is saying? Well, I want you to look at the proverb because this proverb, like many proverbs, it's setting up a contrasting idea. It's comparing opposites, and so it's contrasting a peaceful heart with jealousy. So what is the opposite of jealousy? Well, the opposite of jealousy is gratitude and contentment. So a heart of gratitude, a heart of contentment, is what is going to lead to a healthy body. Jealousy, on the other hand, is like cancer in the bones. You know, we did a series on this podcast on the seven deadly sins. And when we talked about envy, one of the things we stressed on envy is at least with the other sins, there is some momentary pleasure. Now, I don't say that to justify it, but you can see why we can get tangled up in some of those other sins. I mean, gluttony, for example. Last week was Thanksgiving. I confess I was gluttonous a little bit on Thanksgiving. I definitely overate. And I didn't find pleasure in it after the fact, but as it was happening, I was enjoying that pumpkin pie, not just the first slice, but the second. You know, I was enjoying the turkey and the potatoes and the gravy and the stuffing and all that went with it. So lust, You know, lust, there is momentary pleasure in lust. If there wasn't, we wouldn't do it. But envy is different. Envy is the sin that has no enjoyment. It has no pleasure. It's miserable from the beginning. There is nothing positive about the experience from start to finish. So having a grateful heart is healthy for the body. In Colossians 3:15, we see this connection again to peace or a peaceful heart and thanksgiving. It says, "Let the peace of Christ, to which you were indeed called in one body, rule in your hearts and be thankful." Again, that's not a suggestion in Colossians 3, guys. It's a command. Paul is saying, be thankful. It is prescriptive, not descriptive. And I want to look at another command that Paul gives us in regards to thanksgiving. And this is going to come in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Paul is going to challenge us to give thanks in all circumstances. He does not tell us to give thanks for all circumstances. There is a difference. So let's kind of dig into that. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, how many of you, when you read that passage, think to yourself, is Paul being serious? Am I really supposed to be thankful in all circumstances when the world is crashing down around me? When my life is in ruins? Am I supposed to be thankful? You know, I did some counseling with a guy after church this past Sunday, a guy who has lost his wife and kids. They've left, and part of it was his fault. A big part of it was his fault. He knows that. He recognizes that. And this guy was broken. I mean, this guy could not stop weeping, and nor could I if I would be in that situation. Is he supposed to be thankful in that circumstance? I've got a good friend of mine who serves on our overseer team, and they are dealing with a son who has a brain tumor, and the prognosis is not good, and he's got a lot of physical issues happening now, and they sense the time is coming close. Is he supposed to be thankful in those circumstances? You know, I heard a great sermon from a pastor friend of mine many years ago, and he titled it, "Mind Your Prepositions." And in that sermon, he pointed out that Paul told us to be thankful in all circumstances, not be thankful for all circumstances. There is a difference. We don't have to be thankful for cancer. We don't have to be thankful for the loss of a loved one. We don't have to be thankful for divorce or for a child being neglected when we hear about it on the news. Those things are the result of living in a broken world. They're the result of sin. Maybe not direct sin in every situation, but they're all a result of sin. Every hardship we face in this life, every sickness, every broken relationship is because sin entered the world. And so we don't have to be thankful for those things. Those things weren't part of God's original design. God's not thankful for them, but we can be thankful in them. And we can be thankful in them because there are things that we can be thankful for that are always true. They are constant, regardless of our circumstances. And that's really what I'd like to spend most of the rest of the time together today, is really focusing on those things that are always going to be there, no matter what's going on around us. See, it is great to be thankful for our families. I hope if you have a wife and children, you are grateful for them. It is great to be thankful for our homes. You know, here in the United States of America, we live in luxury that most of the world can't even fathom. You know, I'm thankful for running water. I'm thankful for heat. I'm thankful for electricity. I'm thankful for the propane that runs my stove. We can be thankful for our health. I've been dealing with some stuff in my Achilles now for, well, since last May. And I have little bits of time when it feels good. And I can tell you what, I don't take my health for granted near as much as I used to. This has really caused me to slow down and be grateful and thankful when I'm feeling good. We can be thankful for our jobs. We can be thankful for, you know, financial security. But here's the reality, guys. Every single one of those things could be taken from us. So if you lost all of that, how could you still be thankful in those circumstances? And one of the ways that I hear people try to be thankful is this comparison trap, where they say something like, well, someone has it worse than me, or at least I don't have it as bad as so-and-so. Guys, I would just submit to you that that's not healthy. You're going to use someone else's misfortune to make yourself feel better. And the reality is, if you can think of someone who has it worse than you, you can probably think of someone who you think has it better than you. So avoid that comparison trap. Don't compare yourself to others. Just take joy that God is sovereign. And so whether you're on the mountaintop or whether you're in the valley, He's got you. He's with you. And He is working all things together for your good. So let's talk about some of these things that we can always be thankful for. Because in order to be thankful in all circumstances, I think we need to focus on things that can't be taken from us. Things that no matter what is going on around us are still true. So that in the midst of a broken world, you and I can still cling to these things and we can still be thankful. So here's the first one. You were created in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. That is amazing. It is amazing that God created you and me in His image. God didn't say that about any of the rest of His creation. There's no other animal where God says, I created them in my image. Only humans were created in the image of God. And because of that, your life, no matter what's going on in it, no matter what's going on around you, your life has immeasurable worth and value. Your life means something. Your life has a purpose. God has a plan for you. No matter what's going on around you, you bear the image of God. That means you can do things that someone created in God's image can do. You can create. Now, we can't create like God creates. You know, God created something out of nothing. We can't do that, but we can create. We can create music. We can create art. We can create buildings. Think of all the amazing things that mankind has been able to create because God blessed us and made us in His image. You can communicate. Sometimes we take that for granted. You can communicate. Now, if you lost your speech, if you lost your hearing, the way you communicate would change, but still you can communicate. You can experience emotion. Being created in the image of God is such an incredible blessing, and it's true no matter what is going on around you. The second one is related to that. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. David says, for you created my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Men, does your soul know very well that God's works are wonderful and you're one of His works? I know the world tries to beat you down. I know the world tries to tell you you're less than, that you're not adequate. That's not what God says. God says, I look at you and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That is something we can always be thankful for. In that same passage, we see the third thing that we can be thankful for, again, no matter what's going on around us, and that is that God has precious thoughts about you. So in Psalm 139 again, this time in verse 17 and 18, David says, "How precious also are your thoughts for me, God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. The holy, almighty God of the universe thinks about you, and those thoughts are precious." Man, if that doesn't blow your mind, you either have much too high of an opinion of yourself or much too low of an opinion of him. And it's not just that God had a passing thought, you know, like, hey, one time, one day, this thought about John Bellis happened across God's mind. No, he has so many precious thoughts about me, so many precious thoughts about you. They outnumber the grains of sand on the beach. That's just hard for me to get my mind around. Now, David is the author of Psalm 139, and his mind was blown by this too. And you know that it was because in another one of David's Psalms, he's wrestling with why this is true. He says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" David himself was wrestling with this truth. On one hand, he knew that God had precious thoughts about him, but on the other hand, he didn't know why. Like, God, when I look at your handiwork and I see how small I am compared to the moon and the stars and your creation, like, why in the world do you even have a single thought about me? And yet David knew that God had more precious thoughts about him than the grains of sand on the beach. The next thing that we can always cling to in spite of what's going on around us is that God is good and his love endures forever. Psalm 136:1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." In fact, in that same psalm, Psalm 136 alone, we see the phrase, "His love endures forever," 25 times it's repeated. Have you ever thought about how terrifying God's power would be if he wasn't good? The older I get, that's one of the things that I truly am so thankful for, is just God's goodness. Imagine if God wasn't good. I would just want to end it. I don't think I would want to live under the reign of an almighty God who wasn't also good. I'm so grateful for God's goodness, and I'm grateful that his love endures forever. You know, as believers, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. What an amazing promise that is, guys. That no matter our mistakes, no matter what the enemy tries to do to us, no matter how many people in this world remove their love from us, because that happens, we've all been in relationships and those relationships become broken, and sometimes even we do our best to reconcile and it just doesn't happen. People take their love away from us. God will never do that. God's love endures forever. The next thing we can always be thankful for is forgiveness of sin and a clean conscience. Oh, man, if we've ever struggled with a guilty conscience, if there's ever been sin in our heart that we knew about, but we hadn't yet confessed it, we hadn't yet reconciled with the person we had wronged, oh, man, what a blessing it is to finally have a clean conscience, to get that out on the table and to know that we've been forgiven. Colossians 1, 21 and 22 says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." That promise gets me. That promise is so incredible. See, the Bible teaches that before I put my trust in Jesus Christ, I was alienated from God. I was his enemy. Now you might say, well, John, you just said that his love endures forever. How can his love endure forever, but I'm his enemy? Well, don't you think God loves his enemies? God commands us to love our enemies. God's not commanding us to do something that he's not willing to do. God loves his enemies. Even before you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God loved you, but your sin did separate you from him. So God is loving. God's love endures forever, but so does his justice. So does his holiness. So does his righteousness. But now that I have put my faith in Jesus Christ, I've been reconciled to God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And that's all past tense. It's already happened. I have been reconciled, past tense. And now, present tense, I stand before him without blemish and free from accusation. If that's not something to be grateful for, I don't know what is. Because see, I know that I have blemishes. I know that I still sin. But God sees me through the perfection of Jesus. He sees me without a blemish. Yeah, I think most of us have heard the phrase rose-colored glasses, where someone only sees the positive in a situation, right? They look at things through rose-colored glasses. Well, God sees me through crimson-colored glasses. Because God sees me through the blood of Jesus. And when God sees me through the blood of Jesus, he sees me without fault. He sees me without blemish. That is amazing. And that is something that you and I can be grateful for no matter what is going on around us. Now, there are a handful of other things I could mention, but I'm going to wrap up with one more. And that's that all of the pain and suffering that we experience in this life is temporary. See, when we're told by Paul, and Paul's speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so really God is telling us to be thankful in all circumstances, that does not mean that we don't deal with things in this life that are really difficult. God's not saying, oh, quit whining, you're not really experiencing pain. No, the pain that we experience in this life is real. Paul knew that. God knows that. God grieves over that. Again, it wasn't part of God's original design. So Paul is not minimizing the pain that we experience. When I challenge you to be thankful in all circumstances, I'm not saying to pretend there's no pain. In fact, Paul himself, he talked about times of being under such great pressure that it was greater than he could bear, and he despaired life itself. But here is what Paul knew. It's not going to last, and what is coming is going to make the suffering that we experience in this life seem like child's play. See, in Romans 8:18, Paul tells us that our present sufferings, guys, they are not even going to be worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. See, Jesus is coming back. And he's going to make every wrong right. And there will be no more pain. There will be no more death. There will be no more lies, no more betrayal. Like everything is going to get reset. Everything is going to be just like it was supposed to be. So all of this pain, all of this suffering, it's short-lived. And there's coming a time when the pain that we went through, the trials that we experienced, are going to create a glory in us that they're not even worth comparing to. And so I hope that that brings you encouragement today, and I hope that that causes you to be grateful today. Because I have no doubt in my mind that as some of you listen to this podcast, some of you are in a situation right now, today, even though it's the holiday season, where you're finding it hard to be thankful. You might be that like that man that I met with on Sunday, where you just feel like your whole world has been yanked out from under you. I just preached a sermon this last week on David, and the title was When Ziklag Burns. And so if you're familiar with that story, it's when David comes back from wanting to march with the Philistines against the Israelites, which is a whole nother lesson in and of itself. But he comes back to this hometown of Ziklag where he'd been living for about a year, and it's burnt to the ground. All of his loved ones have been stolen. literally his life was in ruins. So how do you find a way to be thankful in those kind of situations? Well, I hope it's by focusing on the things that are true, no matter what is going on around you. That in spite of that pain, in spite of what you're going through, you can still be grateful that you were created in the image of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has precious thoughts about you. God is good, and his love endures forever. You have forgiveness of sins and a clean conscience through Jesus Christ. And all the pain and suffering that we experience in this life is temporary. Jesus is coming back. He's going to put an end to it, and there's going to be a life where there is no more pain and there is no more suffering. So, man, I want to encourage you to think upon those things. Now, again, you can be grateful for the temporal things. You can be grateful for your family and grateful for your job and grateful for your health. That's awesome. We should be grateful for all those things. But how are you going to be thankful if all that's taken away from you? Focus on the things that are eternal. I hope that brings you encouragement today. I hope that you'll take some time and talk about gratitude with other men in your life. Again, I think it's something that men don't talk about enough, and you can use the resources at pursuegod.org to do that.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.